Now let's go to the Holland Group Hotline. Find them online at askthehollands.com and bring in our market expert, Jay Ratliff, who you can find online at daytradefund.com. Again, that's daytradefund.com. So, Jay, let's go back to Friday and start with Vice President Kamala Harris's economic proposal. What were your thoughts on the proposal itself and any reaction from Wall Street to what she unveiled?
Had I read a transcript, Ryan, versus hearing her, I would have thought it was a Republican speech. Other than some of the things about giving things up, the idea of competition is a good thing and how that works well for our nation and these kinds of things, I thought, hey, these things are great. But then when you start talking about $25,000 for first-time home buyers, which of course is somebody's got to pay for, and you look at the idea of going after price gouging as far as setting limits on certain prices, I cringed.
Yeah.
Because I thought, look, I may not be the best student of history, but I do remember reading about how Richard Nixon's administration tried to, in essence, limit certain prices in the free marketplace. And what ended up happening was the companies that were providing that simply stopped providing as much. And what happened was there was a shortage in certain things that were needed, and we saw an escalation in prices because the less of anything that there is, the higher prices they are, and it ended up hurting the average American because of the fact that we were trying to control prices from a government standpoint. So a lot of it was I was totally against, but the market just kind of looked at it and blinked, shrugged. It was almost business as usual, and I think, Ryan, the reason for that is a lot of times when a politician talks about what they would like to do, the thought is, okay, this is just political banter. This
exactly.
is just political promises. And until something actually is enacted or we move in that direction, the market's not really going to respond. So as such, it was looked at as, you know, perhaps a speech by Trump or Harris with regards to what may or may not happen, since it's simply, you know, suggestions of what they are planning on doing. Nah, I mean, it was just kind of blown off. Now, I was certainly struck by the fact that she's been in office 3.5 years as the vice president, and I don't know why none of these things were important up until this point, but, you know, she seems like she's trying to send the message that she's in touch with the hurting Americans versus what she used to say as far as Bidenomics was working and working very well. She is totally back trace from that, but right now the market's just kind of looking at that as a political speech and no more than that.
Yeah, I mean, most of what she proposed would need to be passed through Congress in order for it to be enacted, and it's looking like we'll probably have a Republican Senate. I mean, I guess it's possible Democrats could hang on to the Senate, but right. It's a really tough map for them, so that's a huge obstacle for her getting any of this agenda passed. And also on the price control stuff, I got to be honest with you, I didn't hear a lot of specifics. I mean, mainly what I heard, you know, set rules to make sure corporations can't unfairly exploit consumers, grant new authority to the FTC for investigations, government regulators cracking down on mergers and acquisitions. I didn't see anything because the reporting ahead of the speech was, you know, the price gouging ban was going to be linked to some kind of price control, which would be a disaster. Right. I didn't see that specifically laid out in the speech. I don't think that's going to happen. I think this is a lot of political pandering. And it was very unspecific in that particular area, which I thought was notable. But I do think, you know, this kind of pandering, it just dumbs down the discourse, because this idea that there is this price gouging that's taking place with grocery prices, I mean, there aren't a lot of things that, you know, economists agree almost 100% on. They agree that price controls don't work. They seem to agree that grocery prices, you know, aren't the result of gouging. And they also agree on something else, which I'll mention, that the American consumer ends up paying a price for higher tariffs.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, it's been several months, but you could tell when the left shifted to try to send the message that the reason we have inflation is not because of the economic policies of the president. It's because of greedy corporations that mm-hmm. are recording record profits. And you see that. I see that all the time on a lot of social media posts where people are simply taking that and passing that information along. And most of the time I can't resist in commenting that's not exactly the case. But it's the message you're trying to consistently send out, because they can't stand on the record of the administration over the last 3.5 years, because there's nothing there to stand on. And you're right about specifics. In any political speech from either side of the aisle, you're never going to be given specifics most of the time, because then you're kind of painted into a corner.
Yeah.
But if you can throw out these sound bites, because we live in a social media world that only looks at certain things that are taken out and passed along, it sounds good. It sounds like they care. And that's what any politician anywhere in the world wants to do, is to try to give the image that they really care. But, you know, you look at it, and there's a lot of things of concern there. But as you mentioned, we've got the three branches of government, and thank God it was set up that way so that at no time do you have one particular party that's running in one direction wildly, because the checks and balances that thankfully are in place. And, I mean, what wisdom was there when that was created, because that's something that saved this country more times than ever.
Last thing I want to touch on, we're joined by our market expert, Jay Ratliff, Fed Chair Jerome Powell, going to speak in Wyoming, I believe, on Friday. Yes. What are you going to be looking for from that speech?
Well, the big thing is, what is he going to mention about September?
Yeah.
Rate cut is pretty well already thought is a foregone conclusion, even though it's still about a 70% chance. But Ryan, what they want to hear is it's going to be a 50 basis point or quarter point. They are hoping for some sort of an indication where things might go. Now, I know one of the things I'm sure the Fed's going to be looking at is going to be the August employment numbers that they'll be able to review after the first of the month, that I think will weigh in. Plus, we've got a couple of other inflationary reports that they're going to have that data to look at as well. But the thought now is that, yes, Jerome Powell on Friday, I think 10 a.m., he may be giving a press conference. And if so, what's he going to say?
Yeah.
And he's been very good about being as transparent, letting us know what his thoughts are. But again, at this point in time, they're thinking September is a foregone conclusion. I'm not quite there yet, although I'm certainly leaning heavily in that direction, because Jerome Powell, if anything, he's very calculating, and he's got to make sure everything's where it needs to be before he's going to take those necessary steps. But once the cuts start to happen,
mm-hmm.
Brian, I think we're going to see them on an ongoing basis, and that's certainly something that a lot of people are anxious to see happen.
Yeah, and we're following what was a solid economic week, good inflation mm-hmm. numbers, good spending numbers, good unemployment numbers, consumer sentiment numbers, huge week for the markets. I mean, all in all,
we're trending in the right direction. You're
yep.
exactly right.
Yep. Our market expert, Jay Ratliff, who you can find online at daytradefund.com. Again, daytradefund.com. Jay, always great to catch up with you. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.